We are rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Who did that song?
That was Billy Crystal in City Slickers.
Okay, there you go. Wow, that was good. All
Yeah, remember, gee, my ass is swollen, rawhide.
So one thing is that trying to think. 97. I felt like the 97 World Series was a fluke, to be honest with you. I always thought that that one was a fluke.
Okay.
All right.
Why?
Because the Yankees didn't win that one.
Oh my gosh.
No, seriously, it was, I mean, they weren't even in it, right? But to me, it was like, first of all, the Marlins won that one because that was the one. It was like a big deal because they were like this brand new team. It was like the fastest, a newly established team had won a World Series. And let's not even talk about the St. Louis Browns. Have you even heard of that team?
Yes, because the 1945 World Series was St. Louis versus St. Louis.
That's right. That's right. It was St. Louis's. St. Louis versus St. Louis, and the Browns were the American League team, and the Cardinals were
The
the National League
national.
team. And
You just
it
try
was,
to.
I think it was the only time the St. Louis Browns went to the World Series.
It was one of the only times that the same city was in the World Series together that wasn't a New York-based series.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that that's true.
Because they don't
And the,
count Oakland because it's not like the city, it's the state.
Right, like, because there's been some California
Right.
ones. Like,
Right.
I think 88 was the A's, and no, who was it? It was the Dodgers and the A's. That's who it was. It was the
Right, and
A's and the
Oakland
Dodgers.
is not considered part of San Francisco. So even if it was the Giants and the A's, it still wouldn't count.
Yeah. So that was, so that it was, I wonder what they called that. What kind of series? Because when it happens in New York, they call it a subway series. If it happens in Chicago, what do they call that?
A hot dog series, I don't know.
Deep dish.
A deep dish series.
Deep dish series. I don't
I
know.
don't
What do
know
they got in
who.
Chicago? Crime?
1945, I can't imagine that they were too into headlines and trying to, get people to watch it on TV because there was no TV. So it was just whatever you saw in the newspaper. It wasn't
Oh,
like.
you could listen to it on the radio back then. People would listen to it on the radio.
Oh, yeah, they probably did. You're probably right.
Dude, I actually, it's funny that we're talking about baseball because I had today, I had like that nostalgic moment where I heard AM radio and it made me think of baseball. Because me and my brother, we used to turn on the radio. If it wasn't on, we didn't have cable. So if the Yankee game wasn't on TV, we'd turn on the radio and listen to it on the radio. And and then when we would watch it on TV, after a while we learned that the commentators on TV really suck. They're just so bad, right? I mean, there's this one guy, Joe Buck. He's just he I think he's better now than he was back in the 90s when he started. He was total trash back then. I remember one time, like someone scored, he goes, "Oh, and they got another point." And I'm like, "Seriously?" I'm like, "Come on, let me go commentate now, please. This guy should not be commentating."
So I'm looking at Mariano Rivera, who, in my eyes, we were talking about before we started, is one of the greatest baseball players of all time. But I
And
want
he's
to look at his offensive stats just to see.
total trash, I'm
He
telling you.
only was at bat three times in his entire career. 17 years, he or sorry, 19 years if you count the minor leagues. He was only at bat three times. He walked once, he struck out once, and then he got an RBI, and that's it. Those are Mariano Rivera's batting stats for his entire career.
Wow.
See, I was looking because I was trying to find out what the fastest recorded pitch he ever had was.
Oh,
And I don't know because his cut fastball was ridiculous, but I don't know if it was ever like one of the fastest recorded. Like, I don't know if there's any stats on if like the fastest he ever threw.
I think either 99 or 100 was the fastest. I don't really know.
Which reminds me, did you see the other day somebody threw 117? I think it was.
What? No, 117?
It might have been. It was one of the Reds.
No, that's not real. That's not real. I think 105 or 106 is the fastest. 117, that's unhittable.
I don't know.
No one's going to hit that.
I might be wrong. I'm looking it up. Sorry. It was Chapman.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No, it was 105.8. Let me see.
Yeah, see, that makes sense. And I knew it would be Chapman because he's the only guy throwing that fast. There's nobody throwing that like
yeah.
him.
So, yeah, he plays for the Reds and 105 miles an hour.
Okay, so all the old school baseball fans, right? There is this new, it's relatively new. I don't know how long it's been going on. It's been going on for a few years, but there's this relatively new way to gauge how good a pitcher can throw, and mm-hmm. it's called the spin rate.
Okay,
have you heard about this?
No.
So yeah, this is apparently like the spin rate determines how hittable a pitcher is.
Okay.
Right. And there's a really cool video where this guy breaks down Justin Verlander's spin rate in one inning. And it was ridiculous. It was like the eighth inning of a game that he was losing and he's still pitching the game and he just struck out everybody. Yeah, he struck out all three batters, right? On I think he did on 10 pitches or something.
Okay. Right?
I mean, it was crazy. And it was just like a regular game, kind of in the beginning of the season. So no one really took notice of it. But he explained how the spin rate is what made this guy so unhittable, right? Like
he's 38. He plays for the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
He makes $33 million a year.
Not a bad paycheck, that's for
okay.
sure.
Okay. Google Justin Verlander wife.
I know who his wife is. But hold on.
Okay.
This is important, all right?
Yep, I'm listening.
All right, so you know, this guy was talking about how his spin rate is like off the charts, and it literally is off the charts. And when you watch the velocity of the ball, and you watch how the ball moves down, right, go mm-hmm. you know down to the home plate, you can see that there is something happening with the ball that you don't see with other pitchers, and you know, some guys throw fast, they have velocity, but they don't have the spin rate. And I was like, so then I was like, okay, let me go check out some pitchers. So I started watching different pitchers and I noticed something. There is a guy who has a similar look, like velocity, spin rate on the ball, but this is pre-spin rate calculations. Cause like I said, they've only been around for like maybe 10 years or something like that, 10, 12 years.
Now I know how I know this guy. He wasn't from the Astros. He used to play for Detroit.
Yeah, that's right.
I know him. Because he played from Detroit in 2000. He played for like 14 years with Detroit. 2005 is when he started. Okay. Yeah. I remember this guy. This guy is not phenomenal ERA wise. I think his career ERA is like 3.33, but he's still
got some impressive. 3.33 stat. Is actually a pretty good ERA for this time period.
Right. But his record's 226 and 129. So he's phenomenal. He's almost
well, he also played, look, like I said, that game, he lost that game that mm-hmm. he pitched a full game, like he right. completed the game and he still lost the damn game because his team just wouldn't give up any, they wouldn't score any runs for him. He got no help. He played for the Tigers. What do you expect?
He's gotten a lot better in the last couple years. I mean, 2017, he only gave up 17 home runs or 17 hits.
Yeah, he's HR is home run. H is hits.
It says 17H. Okay.
Dude, that's insane.
Home runs 4.
So four of the 17 hits were home runs.
Yes. And he walked five people. Struck out 43. There's got to be something wrong with this.
It sounds like he had a very abridged season.
34 innings pitched. He must have gotten hurt.
Yeah, it sounds like he got hurt that year. So, yeah. All right. So check this out. So I was going through
velocity of the pitch.
So I'm looking at spin rate, not velocity, because that's the speed. We're talking about spin rate. How many rotations does the ball make, right, in a set amount of time?
Okay.
Right. So the pitchers who have a higher spin rate tend to be more unhittable. The pitches are harder to hit. Right. So sometimes, the spin rate's going to go up and down depending on the pitch, depending on this. Right.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so I'm looking at this and I'm looking at maybe there's gotta be some guys. I found one guy who not only whose spin rate looks similar to Justin Verlander's, but who's more consistent.
Okay.
Nolan Ryan.
Also played for the Astros.
Oh yeah, also played for the Astros. But I was watching Nolan Ryan pitch and I said, oh my God, it's like every pitch is like that. And that the spin rate, because this whole thing about spin rate is like such a big deal, right? And it's like one of these overlooked things. But when I watched Nolan Ryan pitch, I said, that's it. That's the secret. It's not that he can throw 103 miles an hour, by the way, which he could. When he first got clocked, they clocked him at pitching 100 miles an hour, but they clocked him later on going even faster.
A curveball going 100 miles an hour or
no, fastball?
Oh, okay.
Fastball.
But that's a hell of a curveball, and that's a hell of a spin rate if you can make it like go that fast and curve that much.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, we don't really – there's no real footage of people earlier than that, there is footage of, Bob Feller pitching, who they said he was super fast. And then they said Nolan Ryan was, Bob Feller. But then you have, Walter Johnson and Cy Young. And, those two guys right there, you got nothing on them, right? And apparently – those guys threw really fast, and it was not typical in that time period to throw as fast as those guys were throwing, but we have no idea the velocity of the ball back then or the spin rate.
We probably don't even know the statistics for Roger Clemens when he was good. I don't know when they started calculating this, but I'd be interested to know.
Think about this, right? We know that Nolan Ryan could throw a ball 103 miles an hour. Right. We know that. We know Bob Feller could have probably thrown the ball around that same speed. Mm-hmm. We have no clue how fast. And remember, the Cy Young Award is named after the pitcher Cy Young because he won 511 games. It's an unbreakable record. That record will never be broken.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a record that will stand the test of time unless they change baseball forever. Right. But anyway, unless they do something drastic, but, where they whoever started the game gets the win no matter what.
Right. And so here's another strange statistic about Nolan Ryan. Do you know the legend of his 108 mile an hour fastball?
Go ahead. I want to hear this. Tell me this.
They were unable to accurately account for how fast the ball actually went, because when they got the measurement of 108, it was 10 feet in front of the plate. And then the next readable measurement that they were able to get was 7 feet behind the plate, and that was 98.6.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So they didn't get the measurement as it crossed the plate. So they say he threw 108 miles an hour, but the difference of 20 feet, no one actually knows. So that's why he doesn't have a record of 108 miles an hour. I think his record is 103.6 or something like that. But they say that he actually threw, it was in 2008 that they were reanalyzing this to try to see, because they were trying to, get these asterisks off of people's records and stuff like that. So they started looking into the history of his 108 mile an hour fastball.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's
the GOAT as far as starters go. Mariano Rivera is the GOAT as far as relievers go.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really think of anybody else. I mean, We could go lefty. We could go righty. We could say David Wells was one of the best pitchers on the Yankees.
All right, for hold a year. On. I'm glad you brought him up. There's something crazy about this with David Wells. Mm-hmm. It was the first year of interleague play.
Okay.
The Yankees were in Florida playing against the Marlins, right?
Okay.
It was the first time David Wells went up to bat since college. That's what he said before. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, interviewing him before the game. So how? What do you think about, you know, hitting? He goes, oh, I haven't done that since college. So, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Right.
So he comes up to bat. I think it was in the third inning. All right. He comes up to bat and he freaking slams a home run. Okay. He hits a home run. And I'm like, I knew it. I just knew this guy was going to hit a home run. Right. And of course, you know, he's all like, ha ha ha, I hit a home run. He's running the bases with the jacket. And then in the next inning, the game got rained out. So his home run never counted.
Yeah. Cause I was just looking at his stats. He has zero. He has no home runs.
But he hit a home run. It just doesn't count.
Few RBIs. Yeah. He has no. Do you remember when his perfect game was?
His perfect game was in 98.
1998
was his perfect game. And I think it was the year before when he hit that home run. Was it? I don't remember. I can't remember what year it was, but it was the first year of interleague play. It might have been 98. Could have been the same year.
It might have been. I don't know.
But, you know, I'm telling you that moment exists. It's out there somewhere. It's Yankees have, because they have everything recorded, save somewhere. So there's got to be some footage of David Wells hitting a home run that just never counted. That's like the worst kind of robbery, you know? It's like my first time ever batting in the major leagues, I hit a home run, but it doesn't count because the game got rained out.
So do you know who the first perfect game was in the history of baseball?
It was, no, I don't know. I don't remember the pitcher's name. I remember it was in the 1800s.
Okay, so post-1900.
Post-1900s. Oh, the first one?
First recorded perfect game.
I think it was Walter Johnson.
It was the Philadelphia Athletics versus the Boston Americans. Cy Young.
It May was 6, Cy Young. Right. That was going to be my second guess. It was going to be Walter Johnson or Cy Young. But,
and I'm only going to stick to people I know on this list. Number 6, Chicago Cubs at Los Angeles Dodgers, Sandy Koufax.
Yes.
Number 9, 1965.
You could throw some of these at me. I know. Let me tell you something about the very first perfect game ever. Here's something interesting. You can look this up. The very first one ever, pre-1900. It was in the 1800s. I don't remember the pitcher's name. He threw a perfect game, right? And people were just like, oh, all right. Yeah, he did a thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, that'll happen probably pretty often. And then like 2 weeks later, someone else did it.
Number four, 4 years prior to David Wells in 1994, California Angels at Texas Rangers, Pudge Rodriguez was the catcher. Who was the pitcher?
Pudge Rodriguez was the catcher. I want to say you said 1994.
July 28th, 1994, left-handed pitcher, 29 years old.
Jim Abbott.
Nope, Kenny Rogers.
Jim Abbott threw a no-hitter. That's what it was. He threw a no-hitter, and Kenny Rogers threw the perfect game.
David Wells was May 17th, 1998, versus the Minnesota Twins. George Posada was the catcher.
George, it is Jorge.
And then 1 year later, who got a perfect game?
David Cone. I think it was Yogi Berra Day. And what was really interesting about that one was that Don Larsen threw out the opening pitch, mm-hmm. right, the first pitch of the game to Yogi Berra, right, in remembrance of Don Larsen's perfect game in the World Series back in what year was that? 19? Oh my God, 48? No,
56.
56. Oh my God.
Brooklyn Dodgers at New York Yankees, October 8th, 1956.
Yep.
So the funny thing about David Cone is David Cone did not like Jorge Posada. They weren't a good duo. They weren't compatible. There was something about Jorge's style that David Cone just couldn't pitch to. So that was Joe Girardi, one of his last, you know, the last years.
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember that. I remember every time David Cone pitched, Joe Girardi also pitched. But I got to tell you, all right, so David Cone had missed a large portion of the season due to, I think, some kind of rotator cuff injury or something like that. And he had to get surgery. On his first game back, right, he went 7 innings, no-hit game, right? And then Joe Torre took him out of the game. He's like, he's like, man, you pitched a great game. I can't have you pitch anymore, though. I'm sorry. He just couldn't do it. And what was crazy was that in the bottom of the 7th inning, it was the bottom because they were at the A's, the Oakland A's. At the bottom of the 7th inning, a batter hit a ball over the center field wall, and Bernie Williams leaped over and caught the ball, right? And then David Cone, you could see him on the mound. He's like, thank you, man, you know? And then Mariano Rivera finished the game and gave up 1 hit in the 9th inning. And then David Cone made a remark to him about, didn't get the no-hitter. And Mariano Rivera was like, wait, you didn't give up any hits in the game? He had no idea that the guy pitched seven innings of no-hit ball.
Five years later was the next memorable person on the list. Arizona Diamondbacks at Atlanta Braves.
Wait, Randy Johnson.
Yep, May 18th, 2004. And then the last recorded, there was 3 perfect games in 2012.
Yeah, that was a crazy year.
And that was the last year that someone got a perfect game. It was 2012.
And it was 3 of them. That's something that'll never happen again. But never know. All right, so in 98.
And it was
when David Wells.
Okay, keep going.
When David Wells got the perfect game, I think it was 3 months later, he pitched another six perfect innings before giving up a hit in the 7th inning of a game.
Another fun fact, 2012, both 2 of the 3 perfect games, all 3 of them happened on the West Coast, but 2 of them happened in this Mariners stadium.
Against the
Mariners. So one of them was a Seattle Mariner. Phoenix Hernandez was a Seattle Mariner.
Okay, yeah.
And then the other one was Philip Humber, and he was a Chicago White Sox in Seattle Mariners.
And the crowd went wild anyway, because they're like,
and then the Matt Cain one was just a disaster, because it was 10-0 against the Astros, and he played for the Giants at the time.
So yeah. What's crazy is I watched 2 perfect games live. The David Wells one.
I only remember that one.
And the David Cone one. I remember the David Cone one because I thought the game was going to get rained out. And I was like, no, they cannot let this game end. No way. No. They have to let it continue. Yeah. And then the game came back on.
So that's our topic of the day. I didn't even think about how long we've been talking about baseball, but it's just so much fun. So do you have any stupid news for us?
Oh my God. All right. Well, all right. First thing, I'm going to point this out. I look up stupid news on Google to find some stupid stuff. You know what comes up? I can't believe this. It's like, it's Trump. Like, they cannot stop talking about this dude. Like, seriously, like, let's talk about some news. Okay. Like, man, all they want to talk about is this guy. It's like, stop. Who cares? Okay.
Somebody does, because he sells newspapers, because
okay,
you never know what he's gonna do next. So what has he done?
Yeah, they gotta make money, right? They got nothing else. So all right, I'm not gonna talk about dumb news, but I'm gonna read you some funny headlines.
Okay,
all right, you ready for this first headline? I came across, it says homicide victims rarely talk to police.
No,
how do you still have a job? I don't get that.
Okay, next.
Okay, we hate math, says 4 in 10, a majority of Americans. I see why they don't like math.
All right, keep going.
Okay, ready for this one? All right, yeah. People, And just to let you know, this is not my opinion because I don't want us to get like banned or anything. I'm deplatformed here. Breathing oxygen linked to staying alive.
That is some knowledge right there. That is a knowledge bomb.
All right.
I know some people that don't remember to breathe. Breathe, that's people. That's right. Remember okay. to breathe. Remember to breathe. So.
Hold on. There's I got a couple more for you.
If you don't breathe, you're going to be in trouble.
Big trouble. All right. You ready for this one?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Statistics show that teen pregnancy drops off significantly after age 25.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Dropping knowledge bombs.
And for those of you who are worried about China, we got some inside scoop on China. They might be using sea to hide its submarines.
Okay. So this is perfect. This is our dumb news and our how to not. I'm going to jump a little bit forward here. And number one, how to not die, just breathe. You breathe, you don't die. Number two, how to not be pregnant as a teen, wait till you're 25. I mean,
then you won't have the teen pregnancy issues.
Then you won't have to worry about it. You wait till you're 25, you won't be a pregnant teen. Dude, we just knocked out two sections at one time. Dumb news and how to not. You got any more? You got another how to not dumb news?
All right. So here's, this is one from the World Bank. So mind you, this is coming from the World Bank.
Okay. Right?
These people understand finances better than anybody. And the World Bank says that poor people need more money.
Perfect. How to not be poor. Make money.
How to not be poor. Have more money. Duh.
There you go. There you go. All right. So then I'm going to segue into the best dad advice.
Wait, I got to show you one. I can't even say this one. So I'm just going to share it on the screen here.
Okay.
Okay. I'll zoom out a little bit here, but yeah. What? Can you pronounce this?
Yep. All right.
I just didn't want to sound like I was having a stroke, so no. I had to share it first.
All right, cool. So we're going to get into the best dad advice. And this one is plain, simple, to the point. If you can't blind them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit.
I like that. That's good.
I mean, seriously, that's the easiest way to go. Easiest way to go. But we can't blind them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit.
I like it.
Yes. And then I got a little bit of a joke. I gotta tell you. I was gonna tell you guys a joke about time travel, but you guys didn't like it. So sorry.
That was good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And then, you know, the piece de resistance. Did you know that Chuck Norris can step on Legos?
Wow.
For dads out there, for humans out there, for moms, dads, everybody, Chuck Norris can step on Legos.
I got goosebumps from that. Like straight up chills right down my spine.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a Chuck Norris joke that's better than that? I don't think so.
Well,
the reason how I came up with it is because I stepped on a Lego and I couldn't do it. It hurt like a bush. Pardon my language, but it hurt like a bush.
Yeah, they don't feel good.
No. Dang, blast it. Those little bricks of fun are only fun when they're not under your feet.
All right. So you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Chuck Norris can sneeze with his eyes open.
What?
Try doing that, folks. Not going to happen.
No. Chuck Norris is the man.
That's right. In fact, he is such the man, he's actually helping the world go green because his belly button is actually a power outlet.
Whoa.
He's the man.
He is the man. So we go from Mariano Rivera best pit, one of the best pitchers of all time,
greatest relief pitcher of all time,
relief pitcher of all time. It's Chuck Norris.
The greatest thing to ever happen.
And then you got us two schlubs up here. We're the Titans of I don't know, and we don't know anything.
I don't know how Chuck Norris started a fire with an ice cube, but he did.
Friction, baby. He got that thing hot enough to go before it melted. Only thing I could think of. I'm Ben.
And I'm Joe.
You guys have a wonderful night. See you next time.